What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Varsity Breakdown Podcast, where we are catching up on some baseball and softball as we near the end of the spring season. You already know who it is. I'm Daniel Guevara alongside Lupe Ramirez, and we are ready to get this show underway. But before we dive in to baseball and softball, we talked about some big news last week as far as the Varsity Breakdown expanding its team. Lupe, hope you had a good week. Welcome to the show. But I know you wanted to kick things off with this. So what's the big news regarding the Varsity Breakdown team?
Well, you had mentioned it on our last podcast. We are expanding and adding two more analysts. Those analysts are Mr. Augie Chang of Mesa Community College. He is a Coolidge High School alumni. And also Mr. Anthony Pistorio of Grand Canyon University. That is a real university. I don't know if you saw, like, it's a TikTok of somebody saying that they weren't sure that Grand Canyon University is a real university.
All I know is they had the dunk champ, though, this past week for the Final Four.
And they had a hell of a basketball team this year.
Oh, absolutely. So, of course, you guys know Anthony Pistorio. He's been on the show previously a couple of times. I know we're going to try to get me and him in the studio at the same time. That's the only thing we haven't done.
That's our Great White Buffalo. We've been chasing that for about 3 years now.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, if you guys don't know who he is a student of he is a student from Florence High School. So definitely great to have both of these guys on board. And I know it was something we kind of were thinking about for a while now, as far as being able to have a solid team to be able to travel to a little bit more games, have a solid team to be able to provide some great production during our broadcast. So,
and with two totally different perspectives.
Absolutely. And with those two guys, you know, they bring two totally different platforms. You know, both of them did play football for their respective schools. But Augie actually went and does track and field at Mesa Community while Anthony's pursuing his degree at GCU. And I'm anxious to see what they are looking forward to now that they're going to be a part of the Varsity Breakdown team. So, you know, big thank you to them for wanting to do this with us. And we can't wait to get them on the show and kind of see how things flow with not only having two voices, but possibly four voices on the show at one time.
Yeah, you said it. With Anthony still out there at GCU, we're wishing him all the best and a good, strong finish to the end of the semester. And we know that Augie commutes back and forth, so we're possibly looking to get with him tomorrow so that way he can get an inside look of what it's like when we produce a show. We're also trying to get a friend of ours as well to an inside look of how we produce things, because it's great to see and the friend I'm speaking of is Jeremy White, former running back and state champion for the Coolidge Bears, also pursuing his dreams in the music industry and taking producing to the next level. So super proud of Deuce Deuce for doing that. And I'm hoping that we can get them both in the studio so that way we can record another episode and maybe charter off into new territory and record a podcast of our own. We haven't really thought about it. We might do it tonight. It's all a matter of time, but let's get into baseball, brother. Who do you want to talk about first?
Well, before we dive in to each respective teams, let's kind of take a look at what the rankings look like. They came out yesterday on Tuesday. So we started with 2A last week. So let's start off in 6A where we have the Maricopa Rams, who, although they're 11-3 on the regular season, they currently sit at 22nd in the 6A. You know, still kind of, as we say, not getting that respect from the AIA as of right now. But as we always talk about, strength of schedule does play a big factor. We know that they're not in the strongest region at the moment, but hopefully they will do enough to be able to crack that top 24 before the end of the season, which is already next week. That's how much we've missed so far. So in the 5A, division, you have Casa Grande which is sitting at 28th with a 4-11 regular season record. With only a couple games left, I believe, for them, it kind of looks like they'll be sitting on the outside of that top 24 by the end of the season. But, you know, we'll see where they finish come next week. Into the 4A, we have Poston Butte at 13, 12-4 in the regular season. Vista Grande at 20th, 11-4 in the regular season. Apache Junction all the way down at 38, and the Combs Coyotes sitting at 45. So any big surprises there for you as far as the two teams that are probably going to be chasing a playoff spot, being Poston Butte and Vista Grande?
It's crazy how eerily similar these teams are to each other, and it doesn't really surprise me where they are. I am a little shocked that Vista's in the 20s and not actually in the teens, but we still have until Monday of next week until a lot of these schedules iron out completely. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with it.
All right, moving on into the 3A. Our highest seeded team there is the Florence Gophers, sitting at number 8.
No surprise.
While ALA Ironwood is sitting right on the edge at number 23. And you move on to Coolidge, who sits at 33. Santan Foothills at 35. And as we know, ALA Anthem South does not have a season this year, so they are currently not ranked. But it seemed like a team like Coolidge kind of fell pretty quickly, you know, when the power rankings came out. They were 31 last week, unfortunately dropped down to 33. So that was a team we know had some very high hopes to make the playoffs this year. It's just not going to seem like it's going to happen by the time their last four games are played. Would you agree?
Yeah, three words: strength of schedule. We talked about this in private about how this team has improved vastly over the last couple of years, but it's not going to show on paper when you look at the playoffs. It was a dream that they had in reach, but a couple of key losses to region opponents like Santan Foothills, like Florence, those games will hurt you. And even though you do walk away with big wins against teams like Globe and other teams like that, if they're not teams with winning records, it's going to hurt you in the standings, and we've seen that in the past 2 weeks.
And let's look at our two teams that are vying for a playoff spot. Florence obviously is a lock to make the playoffs, mm-hmm. but they are sitting at 8. We know 9 through 24 have to do a play-in game. Is it more important, or who do you think has to win out the rest of the season? ALA Ironwood sitting at 23 or Florence sitting at 8? If you were in those two positions, I know they're vastly different, but are you kind of seeing it's more important for Florence to try to get that first-round bye or ALA Ironwood to try to stay in the top 24?
It's tough to see. It's tough to say which team needs it more. If you're Florence, you obviously want to get ahead and be in that top 8 and kind of get away with not having to be in that play-in game. But at the same time, if you're ALA Ironwood, you want to stay in that game and possibly play a team like Florence if you get a chance in that play-in scenario. So,
and it's a very important game, I believe, today mm-hmm. between both opponents. So, you know, who is it a bigger game for?
I would say it's a bigger game for ALA Ironwood. If this is a team that wants to make a statement to show that they belong within that group of teams that's going to be in that tournament play-in, you have to beat a team like Florence, which will show you that you are capable of doing it and will possibly drop Florence into that play-in game. If Florence is able to beat them, this may very well be the nail in the coffin for the Warriors of their playoff hopes, but will bolster the Gophers' chance of possibly make it in that top 8 for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and right behind ALA Ironwood, you have Chinle at number 24. They are 10-5. Chino Valley, Parker, and Sabino are 25 through 27, two of those teams are 5-9 and the other one 5-10. So they still have a little bit of leeway. You just got to see who has the strongest remaining strength of schedule there. So let's go into our final rankings, which is the 2A. And one of the teams we're going to be keeping our eye on is Santa Cruz Valley, who is currently 5-8 on the season, and they are ranked 22nd. So a team kind of like AOLA Ironwood, they're sitting on the edge there, need to possibly win out in order to crack that top 24, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, just because they're in the 22 spot, a few games out from the 24, that's no cushion. You want to make sure that you're winning out for the rest of the season to make sure that you get into that playoff scenario.
And we're going to break down what those remaining games are for all 12 of our baseball teams. The other team we didn't get to mention was Desert Sunrise, another team that didn't have a baseball season this year. So only 12 teams, but still have some teams that are alive and in the hunt. And we hope that these last few games help them get into that playoffs. Because like we always say, the more teams we can get in the playoffs, the better. And I think you'll see every program grow who makes the playoffs this year.
Definitely.
So let's jump over to softball, where we'll start with the Maricopa Rams. And just like boys baseball, the Rams are sitting in the teens, but they're at 19, even though they are 13-2 in the regular season. How does that look for you? Is it kind of similar to the baseball team as well?
Yeah, it's the same story of them not being in a respected region. The numbers say otherwise, that they should be in the lower teens, but them being in 19 is a blessing in itself, and I know that the Rams will do good when the playoffs come around.
All right, and moving on into 5A, where we have Casa Grande sitting at 7-8, and that's good enough for 16th. Do you like where Casa Grande is this year? It's definitely a turnaround season for that softball program, as now they are in almost the middle of the pack, if you would kind of say, when it comes to the top 24 teams.
100%. If you look at their regular season record along with their record with tournament games, it nears 500, a little bit on the below side, but still, nonetheless, a really good season. Like you said, a turnaround season for the Lady Cougars. I think that this season, it was a warm-up for what they can expect. They wanted the postseason in their... They wanted the postseason in the beginning of the season. Now they're nearing that way. It's always going to be a challenge. It's tough when you're in that 4A, 5A, especially in the 6A, because there's so much heavy talent. Arizona is a great school to produce baseball and softball players. So when it comes to the springtime, if you're in one of those upper tiers, it's going to be a challenge. But nonetheless, I think Casa Grande will do just fine when the final rankings come out.
All right, let's keep things going into the 4A division, where, like we said, a lot of these teams are really similar on their rankings. You have Post and Butte at 11-5. They're currently at 16, while Vista Grande is at 20th. Then as you move down the order, you have Apache Junction at 35 and the Combs Coyotes at 38. So it almost like... On the baseball side, Post and Butte and Vista Grande should be locks to make the playoffs. I know that just like Casa Grande, Vista Grande is a team that has drastically improved over the last couple of seasons in softball. I know that they had the same goal as Casa Grande, make it back to the playoffs. And, you know, they're sitting on that tier of possibly moving into the teens, maybe even trying to catch Post and Butte. But how do you see this one playing out for both teams at the end of the year?
These two teams have probably been our most consistent as far as what we've seen from last season onto this year. I think that the Lady Broncos and the Lady Spartans will have a chance at furthering their playoff hopes. Whether they get further than the first round, it's going to be tough. It's a lot of stiff competition in that 4A. right now, if you look at Vista Grande themselves, they are leading the 4A Black Canyon. But I think next year when they start looking at these regions again and doing the relocations, Vista Grande is probably a team that it is able to move out of that region. They've won a couple of region championships. Now it's time for them to face tougher competition.
And if you look at last year, they went 16-10 and also went 10-0 in the Black Canyon region. So I would definitely agree with you. It's time to kind of move out of that bracket. But let's keep things rolling into the 3A, where we have ALA Ironwood sitting at 14. Coolidge is not far behind them. They're sitting at 16. Florence at 21. ALA Anthem South at 34. And Santan Foothills at 41. So three out of our five teams there are in the hunt for the playoffs. Do you think that at the end of it, Coolidge will be able to surpass ALA Ironwood, or do you think Ironwood is going to be able to move up a little bit more?
I think Ironwood has the ability to move up a little bit more. It's just based off of the strength of schedule. But Coolidge has been no slouch this season. They have shown improvement, just like kind of how they started last year, a little bit rocky in the beginning, but suddenly finding their footing when it's starting to matter. So I think it's going to be a good turnaround for both teams, but I just got to give the edge to ALA Ironwood.
Okay, and then you have Florence at 21. They just beat Coolidge not too long ago, I believe last week. Yes, they beat them 7-1. So that is definitely a big game for Florence, where if they can keep this up, they might be another team to move into that teen bracket and possibly have a better opponent to play in that play-in division. But nonetheless, three out of your five teams in Pinal County possibly making the playoffs in softball, you got to definitely love that.
Yeah, with them changing the format of the playoffs, it makes it a lot more exciting for the teams in our region and in our area in general for them to move on and go further into the playoffs. I think that this schedule change and playoff bracket change was a complete success.
All right, and finally moving into the 2A, where we have Santa Cruz Valley at number 6. So they look like a team that's possibly going to lock a first-round bye come next week. And then you still have Sequoia Pathway kind of knocking on the door, dropped a couple of spots from last week as they dropped to 25. But the one thing you got to look at here is they probably might not catch Mini Farms, who sits at 23. But Trivium Prep, who's at 24, is 0-6 this year and one spot ahead of Sequoia Pathway. Do you see Sequoia Pathway? I know wins are minimal, you know, when it comes to their season this year, but do they have a chance to possibly make that hurdle over Trivium Prep, or maybe a team like Madison Highland, who's 3-9, can possibly jump both of them by the end of the season?
It all comes down to the final game. We know that Sequoia Pathway has their final game against Madison Highland Prep. I think that game is going to be a be-all, end-all on how this year's postseason turns out. How bad does Sequoia Pathway want this?
And the way things are looking, that can give you a road trip down to Wilcox to play a heavily talented Cowgirls team. So either way it goes, I think if you look at Sequoia Pathway, a team who struggled to produce wins in softball, are starting to pick up the pace a little bit, putting some wins together. We always say that that's an improvement no matter what your record is, especially coming off a winless season. But to possibly sneak into the playoffs, it would definitely boost the morale for that team going forward.
Oh, yeah. We know the community of Maricopa to be a very talented team in the spring, so it should make no difference that the Pumas are slowly gaining their footing in this season as well.
All right. So that's where the rankings kind of – all right, so that's where the rankings are as of Tuesday. We'll see probably the final results come maybe next Tuesday or even earlier. We'll keep our eye out for that and be posting that on social media as they are revealed. But as far as the teams go individually, I mean, is there any surprises for you throughout the course of this season for any team in baseball or softball?
I feel like the biggest surprise to me would be the change in personnel for the Casa Grande Cougars, and with the addition of El Turnagant for the Vista Grande Spartans, they have ultimately become a more well-rounded baseball team. I think that that change in personnel has impacted not only baseball in Casa Grande, but baseball in the 5A and 4A. Now, the 5A regions get a little bit weaker because you can see Casa Grande having a little bit of a slower season this season.
But do you think one player changes that whole narrative for a team like Casa Grande?
I think it does because he was the focal point of that team coming into this season, and with him not being there, they kind of had to shift focus and try to find who was that guy. Now, there wasn't a chance for that team to kind of sit back and wait. Now, it became front and center that they needed to find somebody new. It was tough to try to pinpoint who exactly was that guy, but they were a very young team. There weren't many seniors on this team. There were a few that we're going to highlight and acknowledge, but nonetheless, I feel like that transition transfer played a huge factor in the turnaround for the Spartans and the Cougars.
Okay, and you know, I would say that I don't think that one player is going to impact a team, especially in baseball. Everybody plays a vital part. You know, one player can't pitch every single game. They can't hit every at bat. So I think whether it may have increased their win total by a fraction for him leaving, but at the same time, Vista Grande, I think, would have been okay without him as well, especially playing in that 4A Black Canyon. But that's just my opinion, but I respect yours. As far as me, I think the biggest surprise for me this year was probably the Sequoia Pathway Puma, Lady Pumas. You know, I did not have them on my radar to pick up any wins. And if you look on the baseball side, that's exactly how I thought the girls were going to finish as well, just be another winless season. We don't know what the program had coming in from last year to this year. We know they are both very young squads, and for them to be in the hunt for the playoffs, I think for me, I would have never expected it if we were talking about this at the beginning of the season.
No, and for the Pumas, for them to have wins against teams like Leading Edge, Gilbert Classical Academy, and Maryvale Prep, it's just unfortunate that there were no statistics available for this team. But for them to come away with three wins, it's really good. For them to come away with three wins, it's a really good look for SPA.
All right, now let's kind of take our focus into each individual team. We know we said we're going to do what we love to do best, and that's acknowledge some players and see what is on the horizon for the end of the season for each individual team. So we started off with baseball during the rankings. We'll continue with that trend and start off with ALA Ironwood. So who are some of the players you want to acknowledge from them, and what do you see their season playing out like come this last week?
Two players that I have definitely had my eye on this season have been Mr. Drew Rushing. If you look at the statistics for ALA Ironwood on Max Preps, you got to ask, is this kid that good? If you look at the numbers, he definitely is. The kid is batting .300 for his average, a team leader in that category, also leading the team on base percentage with .482, and also has three home runs. For a kid that has a lot of power, he also is crafty on the bases with 16 stolen bases. So Mr. Rushing is definitely on my radar, as well as Mr. Ethan Buckner. He is a team-leading ERA of .69 and has 5 doubles himself. What about you? Were there any other ALA Ironwood Warriors that you had your eye on?
You actually had the top two that I had. I actually had those two players on my list as well. You know, for Drew to have 3 home runs with 16 RBIs and even an on-base percentage of .482, his slugging percentage was .650 as well. So anything in that range, you know, it's having a great season. Ethan, 3-1 so far this year as a pitcher. But the big thing I have circled there is only giving up 3 earned runs in his starts this year and has an opponent batting average of .154. So that's how dominant he has been for the Warriors this season when it comes to him being on the mound. So those two guys definitely are two of the players that I would have to acknowledge as well.
Yeah, very impressive for the seniors. Right now, the Warriors are on a 2-game skid, and their next game is today against the Florence Gophers. Their last 2 games that they've lost have been really tough ones against Valley Christian and Gilbert Christian. Valley Christian, they dropped that game 3-13, and then against Gilbert Christian, it's a shutout 0-15. So looking for a big game from the Warriors this time around today, and I'll actually be out there in Florence to capture some of the action.
Yeah, definitely a big game. We've seen where they ranked this week, so a must-win for the Warriors. But let's move on into Apache Junction. Definitely a team that has struggled this season, sitting at 6-14, 4-3 in the Black Canyon region, which puts them in third. But give me a couple of players from AJ that have stood out this year.
For me, they have a junior that goes by the name of Ace Reese. Kid is batting .302 and has an on-base percentage of .412. Leading the team in these statistical categories, I think Mr. Reese is definitely deserving of this acknowledgement, as well as junior Dylan Hunsaker, who is one of their great pitchers, who has a 2.35 ERA, 101 strikeouts in 44.2 innings pitched, and also has 14 runs. So those are my prospectors I have an eye on. Were there any different Apache Junction players that you had on your radar?
Well, you took Ace Reese. I'm going to go with Rhett Reese, the junior as well. He's batting .250 this year, but also has 13 RBIs and 3 triples, 3 doubles, and a .410 slugging percentage. So those have to be some of the top guys for Apache Junction. Of course, I had Dylan Hunsaker as my pitcher as well that I wanted to acknowledge. So either way it goes, I think Apache Junction is in that right region right now, that Black Canyon region. You know, unfortunately, they're 4-4 in their last 8 games, and I'm just hoping that they can build some momentum here at the end of the season, because it definitely seems like a team that's very young. I think if I looked at their roster, there was only one senior on their squad, so definitely a team that can come out next year and build off of the success from this year.
Yeah, they just got to keep that camaraderie going.
So let's move on into Casa Grande, who's 5-14-1 on the year. Unfortunately, 1-7 in the 5A Santan region, which is good enough for 6th. But although they've had their struggles, like you mentioned, they had one of their best players leave the program to head over to Vista Grande. There's still some kids we can acknowledge from this team. And who are those guys for you?
For me, those guys are Caden Reyna. The kid is batting .370, which is leading the team, and has an on-base percentage of .485 with 11 runs. The other player would be Max Wagner, who has a home run and 19 RBIs on the season. Now, this is a team that went 2-for-3 last week with wins over Fairfax and Higley, but ultimately lost last night to Higley 0-10. So, again, it's two steps forward, three steps back. It's been that kind of season for the Cougars, but the season is nearing its end.
And before we move on to the next team, I just want to acknowledge Rylan Amato, who's batting .245 this year, 12 hits, 3 triples, and 3 RBIs on the season. I'm just hoping for Casa Grande, with this young program, they will be able to have success here in the future, because we always say that Casa Grande is definitely a building point when it comes to their Little League program. I know we get amazing turnouts from what I hear year in and year out at Casa Grande. It just depends on where these kids end up going to school. You know, one day your teammates in Little League, maybe even in junior high, and the next thing you know, you're competing on two different teams, because those schools, when it comes to baseball and softball, they're going to battle to try to get the best kids at their school.
Yeah, it's a really good breeding ground for talent in that area.
All right, so moving on to the Combs Coyotes. They're currently 6-15 on the year, 0-8 in the 4A East Sky. But although they've had their struggles, there's still some players we can acknowledge. And I'll go first this time. I'm going to acknowledge Logan Calvert, who's batting .328 on the year with 1 home run, 15 RBIs, and 5 doubles, as well as Peyton Martz, who's batting .333 with 13 RBIs, 3 doubles, and a .469 on base percentage. Is there anybody else that I missed on this list?
Let's give some acknowledgement to sophomore Giovanni Sanchez Vasquez, who is leading the team in the batting average category with .350, and Alex Bonita, who has an on-base percentage of .484 and an ERA of .546. Not really good when you look at those numbers, but when you see where Combs is in their region and how they've been playing, it's understandable. It's a very young team. Come 2 years from now, I wouldn't be surprised if we're talking about this team making the playoffs around this time of year.
And I know they just lost to ALA Queen Creek 10-0, I think, as you mentioned. But before that, they were actually on a 3-game win streak and had snapped an 11-game losing streak. So they're kind of building a little bit of momentum here at the end of the season. Hopefully they can pick up some region wins to close out the year. But like you said, I would definitely agree with you. Combs is a team that is on the come up and could possibly make a run for a play-in spot in next year's tournament.
Yeah, they had a great showing at that tournament where they got those 3 wins. So, yeah, definitely a good uprising for this Combs Coyotes baseball team.
All right, and we will move on to the Coolidge Bears as they sit 8-11 on the year, 2-4 in the 3A South Central, which places them in 5th place. Definitely a team that has had their ups and downs this year, but still on track to possibly have the same amount of wins as they did last year, which was 12. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they can accomplish that when the season is over. But either way it's gone, this is a team that had lost 2 crucial players at the start, maybe towards the middle of the season. You know, we know of some players leaving the program last year, and we'll get into one of them who went over to Florence. But what have you liked from Coolidge as far as the players go?
As far as the players go, I apologize because I have this interview in my phone with this player who was at the time had a 6-game hit streak, and I'm talking about sophomore Ethan Alphys Garcia, and right now he is probably in his teens with his hit streak.
Well, last I remember, he was at 11 in his hit streak. I'll have to reach out to Coach Rico to make sure he's continuing that streak, and we'll see probably come next episode if that streak continues, but definitely a player I would have on my radar as well. I know you probably have one more player to mention.
Yeah, the other player I have to mention, of course, is Mr. Patrick Perez. He is leading the team with 1 home run and 21 runs. But going back to Mr. Alphys, he has a .532 average, which is leading the team, and also leading the team in on-base percentage at .585. Also, the team leader with 25 hits. This is a team that in the beginning of the spring season, we were looking for a lot of production from other players. Those players ended up leaving the team, and now these young players ended up stepping up to the plate metaphorically and physically and are knocking it out of the park. What are you most impressed with this young Coolidge team?
Oh, well, outside of Ethan and Patrick, you know, who are having tremendous seasons this year, I'm actually pretty impressed with Tim Irigoyen, a sophomore. I know him and his twin brother are new to this varsity team. And he's not only, you know, doing things at the plate, but also behind the plate as a catcher as well and stepping up in that role. He's currently batting .346 with 10 RBIs, 3 doubles, and 2 triples, and has a .510 on-base percentage to go along with 17 stolen bases, which I believe is tied for the team lead. If not, it is the team lead. But as far as the way Coolidge's season has played out, one of the biggest things that I have seen as far as what they've been able to do this year is they have not won more than one game in a row all season long. And that has probably been the reason why they are on the outside looking in at the end of this year. You know, hopefully if they can build a winning streak, as you said, beating some teams like Santa and Foothills, you know, the teams you have to beat, and then going in and picking up some upset victories. I know they almost did against Gilbert Christian. They had some really close games against Florence, but those are the ones you want to pick up if you want to be able to move up that ladder in the 3A division.
Yeah, their next chance will come tomorrow when they get a chance to face the ALA Ironwood Warriors. So very tough, but we will see what will happen.
All right, well, moving into another 3A South Central team, let's move on to the Florence Gophers, who currently sit at 16-6 on the year, 5-2 in the 3A South Central, which that is good enough for third place at the moment. We've seen that they're in the top eight, and with that kind of record and that ranking, they definitely have some players that we want to acknowledge, and I'll let you go first on this one.
All right, let's start off with the young and fresh face. The sophomore Wyatt Stenson is batting .404 with 23 runs and 21 hits, all leaders in three different categories. Very good for this Gopher. And also junior Cam Lorifis, that is the transfer you spoke of earlier. The former Bear is having a great year batting .526 with that being his on-base percentage, with a .509 slugging percentage, as well as 19 runs batted in.
And he's great at the plate. He's also a great addition on the mound. Definitely two great players there. I'm actually going to go with somebody we mentioned a lot last year, and he's doing some great things this year, and that's Noah Madueño, who's batting .365 on the year with 18 RBIs, 2 doubles, and 2 triples on the season. You know, there's definitely a lot more players that we can name, but I think we'd be here all night if we were going to name all the talent that Florence has this year. And, you know, I'm hoping that this is a team that can carry Pinal County deep into the playoffs in baseball, and especially in that 3A division, because, like I said, this is a team, if they get hot at the right time, they're definitely going to make some noise in the playoffs. And in their last 10 games, they're 6-4. So what do they have going forward for the end of the season?
For the end of the season, they have a game tonight at home against ALA Ironwood. And they beat Ben Franklin on Monday 4-3. So like we spoke of earlier, this is definitely a must-win situation for the Gophers. They have the ability to have a first-round bye on the line. It's just a matter of how hard they play and if they want to lose strategically, which we have seen plenty of times over the course of our lives.
Well, if I know the Gophers well enough, they are definitely not going to lose on purpose. They definitely want to go as high as they can in the rankings, and I'm just wishing them the best. I hope that they can close out pretty high. It's just going to be a very good matchup here tonight. And I'm excited to see the results. I'll definitely be on the phone with you to see how that game's going. So let's move on to the Maricopa Rams. 15-9 on the year, 5-3 in the 6A West Valley as they sit in second in that region. Like we said, a team that's been consistent the last couple of years. You know, unfortunately, their strength of schedule has kept them low in the rankings. But either way, they have some talent over there in Maricopa.
No doubt. They have lost their last two games against the Tolleson Wolverines. But they will close out their season with one game against Westwood and two against Shadow Ridge. Now, let's talk about the players I'd like to give a couple of shout-outs to. Mr. Cody Gallardo, the senior, is batting .483 with an on-base percentage of .507. And also senior Ethan Chavez. The kid has three bombs on the year. And you got to respect the power of a young man that is batting against really tough competition. And also another senior, Syed Navarro, has 17 stolen bases with 27 runs and 28 hits. Were there any other players that you had your eye on?
Well, you spoke of Ethan Chavez in the batter's box. I'm going to speak about him on the mound. 4-1 on the year with a 1.84 ERA, 46 strikeouts, and an opponent batting average of .140. So he's getting it done on both sides, and I know he is a big reason that the Rams are in contention for that playoff, for that play-in. But I also got to give some respects to Caden Cook, who has a .375 average with 27 hits, 20 RBIs, 7 doubles, and 17 stolen bases on the season. So another team that we can go through that whole roster and probably pick out a few more if we had the time. But like you said, lost their last two against Tolleson. Hopefully they can turn things around and be able to bump up a couple more spots before the season ends. But let's move on to the Poston Butte Broncos, who are currently 18-6 on the year, 6-2 in the 4A East Sky, which they sit at second currently. And they're a team that has won six straight games as of right now. Hopefully that momentum will continue. But who are a couple of players that you have on your list for them?
You mentioned those six games that they have won. Games against teams like ALA Queen Creek and ALA Gilbert North, as well as Eastmark. Big wins, very big wins. Now, those players I'd like to highlight would be junior Cord Baker. The kid is pitching with a 1.49 ERA and has a .226 batting average with 14 hits. And also senior Noah Allison. The kid has a team-leading average of .537 with 7 bombs on the season and also 17 stolen bases. So some very crafty Broncos in the Santan area.
And I'm going to go with Damian Serrano, who's batting .467 on the year, 35 hits, 18 RBIs, and 3 triples, as well as Dalton Van Gordon, who's batting .351 with 2 home runs, 26 RBIs, and 9 doubles. This is a team that can definitely put the ball in play and get players in scoring position. As you can see, those RBI numbers are way high than a lot of some of the teams in 4A. So I hope that Poston Butte can keep things rolling. I think we said they were currently at 13, if I'm not mistaken, in the 4A division. And I think that this team is getting hot at the right time. You know, we always say a team can go as far as, and we always say that, you know, there's teams that can go far with that kind of momentum and maybe even shock a couple of these highly of these higher ranked teams as well.
Yeah, and this is a Poston Butte team that lost a very big piece in Connor Lopez. But when you look at these numbers as the season ends, they didn't skip a beat.
No, absolutely not. And I'm hoping that they're going to go far this year. You know, them and Vista Grande, there are two teams that can definitely make some noise as we close out this last week. So let's move into a team that has had their struggles this year. You know, definitely a younger team, of course. And we're talking about Santan Foothills, who is currently 7-13 on the year, 2-5 in the 3A South Central, which is good enough for seventh place. But what have you seen from Santan Foothills this year? I know they picked up a win against Coolidge this year. Any other big things going on for Santan Foothills?
It's just a young team on a learning year. Their last two games will be against Globe and Florence. So, really, Santan has a challenge on their hands with both teams. There's no such thing as an easy win. And I think that they had a few bright spots on the year. There's definitely a lot of good players on the squad. It just didn't translate to the win column this season. But going 7-13, it's a tough pill to swallow. But, I mean, I think that they definitely have the personnel that they will bounce back next season.
And any recognition for the Sabercats? Because I know they've had some great talent on that team. As you said, just couldn't produce the wins, but definitely some players to acknowledge.
Yeah, definitely. Three seniors. I'll name them off rapid fire. Cohen Scott, Braden Morton, and David Robiloth. Cohen Scott had three home runs with a 5.18 ERA and 23 runs batted in. Braden had a team-leading 5.32 batting average and 22 runs with 25 hits. David Robiloth had four doubles, two triples, and had a slugging percentage of 750. What about you?
Oh, yeah, I had the same list as you. You know, my big one was David Robiloth, who's batting 500 on the year. You don't really see that very often at the high school level. So he's been hitting the ball really well with one home run, 17 RBIs, and 15 stolen bases. You know, I'm just hoping that they can snap this four-game losing streak that they are on. Mm-hmm. They play a team in Globe who's also been struggling in that 3A South Central. You know, they're 0-6 in that region. And both of Santan Foothills' wins have come from region opponents, being Coolidge, as I mentioned, ALA Ironwood, and hopefully picking up another win against Globe come tomorrow night. But moving on to our next team is the Santa Cruz Dust Devils, who are currently 10-12 on the year, 4-5 in the 2A South. As we mentioned, they're another team on that chopping block to try to make that top 24. And this is a team who has been consistent as well. You know, probably not the amount of wins they would like at this point in the season, but still holding strong. Any big recognitions for the Dust Devils?
Yeah, as far as player recognitions go, let's talk about freshman Nathan Reese, who is batting 322 and has 16 RBIs with a slugging percentage of 372, as well as junior Jonathan Ramos, who has an on-base percentage of 486 with 16 runs. This is a team that lost to Tempe Prep last night 6-2, and their final game is Friday against Tempe Prep, and it's an away game. So this is a team that has to close out strong if they want to stay within that playoff picture for the 2A. It's definitely doable for the Dust Devils. They just got to keep it together.
Yeah, I mean, they've lost six of their last seven. Their last win came against St. Augustine 11-0, but definitely need to put some more wins in the column come the end of the season. You know, but I wanted to acknowledge Juan Juarez, who's batting 303 with 20 hits, 8 RBIs, 4 doubles, and 14 stolen bases. Let's just hope they put those wins together, those bats get hot, and can make a nice little playoff run. But let's go into our next team, which is another 2A team, and that's the Sequoia Pathway Pumas, who are currently 0-18, 0-10 in the 2A South, which puts them in sixth place. Definitely a team that has struggled since making that jump to the AIA. And unfortunately, as I did my research, they have not won a game since moving up to AIA back in 2020. So, of course, there's not much that we can say about this team that a lot of people don't already know. You know, I mean, if you look at their runs for to their runs against, it's 307-12. You know, we definitely know that Maricopa is a hot spot for baseball, especially over there. with the Rams. You know, they have a lot of talent over here, over there, but it's just not transitioning over to a Sequoia pathway when it comes to baseball.
No, I feel like that talent trickle goes from Maricopa, then to Desert Sunrise, and then ultimately to Sequoia Pathway, because you can't forget that Desert Sunrise is still in the picture.
Well, Desert Sunrise doesn't have a season this year, so not sure how that's going to go, but another team we always forget about that's still out there, and they're having a pretty good season this year, is Heritage Academy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe that's where some of the players are going, and, you know, where they have a consistent program. I just want to see, you know, Sequoia Pathway try to put something together, keep a game close, and possibly steal one out. You know, it's been a while since this program has had a win in at the AIA level. Maybe it's a team that could possibly move down a division, or maybe back, or maybe back even to the CAA, but I wouldn't want to see them drop that low. I just know that they have to turn things around. But either way it goes, we always said there's always something positive, even if a majority of the story is negative. And I think we can acknowledge some players here for Sequoia Pathway. Is there anybody on your list?
Yeah, Junior Bash Livingston had a batting average of .286, and unfortunately, his ERA was .875. It's tough for the Puma, but hey, he put those numbers up.
And for me, it's going to be Brad Carpenter, who's batting .263 with 5 hits and 1 RBI. You know, he's one of the few players to have his batting average sit above .200, and we hopefully that can create some consistency with this team. I know they're very, very young, and they just, like we said, have to try to put something together, because in that 2A South, it doesn't get easy, you know. And is what does the remainder of their schedule look like?
For the Pumas, their season is over. This is a winless season for the Pumas. Number 4, as you have said before, not an easy pill to swallow if you're a Sequoia Pathway fan, but definitely a lot of room for improvement.
And we'll move into our last baseball team, which is the Vista Grande Spartans, who sit at 13-9, 8-0 in the Black Canyon region, which, as we said, they swept last year, looking to possibly do the same thing this year, and trying to make a run, as they sit at number 20 in the rankings. You spoke of a transfer coming from Casa Grande in Elterna Gant. Is there is he one of the players on your radar? If also, who else would be there?
Oh, yeah, you knew that Fatty was on that list. But let's talk about Junior Diego Portillo. Kid is batting .524, team leading in that category, with 11 hits and 5 ribbies. And then we spoke of him earlier, Elterna Gant III. Has a .667 on base percentage with 10 stolen bases and 15 runs to his name. And let's shout out sophomore Ruben Baca, who has 14 hits and a slugging percentage of .735.
And for me, it's going to be Ramsey Rodriguez, who's batting .304 with 1 home run, 12 RBIs, and 2 triples. And then I got to go to a pitcher who's having an amazing year. That's Sebastian Hidrago, who is 4-1 on the year with a 0.51 ERA and has only given up 3 runs to go along with 59 strikeouts. And his opponents are batting under .200 at .185. So what a year for Sebastian and for the Vista Grande Spartans. I hope that they can continue this 8-game win streak and close out undefeated for the second consecutive year in the 4A Black Canyon. Maybe be able to be bumped up a couple of notches depending on that strength of schedule. But that is going to do it for our baseball programs. But before we move on to softball, there was one person I forgot to mention from Florence High School, and that's a freshman, and that's Adrian Rodriguez, another pitcher who is 5-2 on the year with a 2.67 ERA, 53 strikeouts, and a .160 on base percentage for the batters he's faced. So As a freshman, you can't ask for nothing better than that, especially coming from a strong program like Florence, where he's turning into one of those aces for the Gophers. So definitely a great job for Adrian and for all of our teams here in baseball. But like we said, the season's going to come to a close here shortly. But before we wrap up this show, let's jump into some softball, where we're going to start off with ALA Anthem South, whose softball team has a season this year. They're currently 4-13, 2-7 in that 3A South Central, which they sit at 7th. And they're a team that had lost 6 games in a row before having that high-scoring matchup with Santan Foothills, winning 35-32, but unfortunately have lost their last 2 games. And that was to Gilbert Christian and Globe by a combined score of 41-0. So definitely a rocky season for ALA Anthem South. I'm just glad that they have some players out there competing this year in that softball program. And there's still some players to acknowledge. I have Isabella Watson batting .500 on the year with 1 home run, 10 RBIs, and a .643 on base percentage. And then you have Susan Davis batting .280 with 2 home runs and 14 RBIs. And their last 2 matchups will be against the Florence Gophers and the Benjamin Franklin Chargers. So 2 tough teams there, but hopefully they'll be able to try to keep these things close and possibly create an upset there.
Yeah, those were the same 2 players I had written down, and that was Isabella Watson and Susan Davis. One with a .500 batting average and the other with 2 home runs on the season. It's very interesting, but nonetheless, like you said, it's really good to see that participation come out of ALA Anthem South, and we can only hope that that trickles into the baseball team next season.
That Santan Valley is definitely going to be a tough spot when it comes to competition and where players are going to end up going, because it's very competitive in that area.
It's a booming area.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's move on into our next team, which is ALA Ironwood. They're currently sitting at 9-8 on the year, 7-2 in the 3A South Central, which puts them in 3rd place.
And this is a team that is riding a 4-game win streak and will have a home game tonight against Northwest Christian. Who were some players on this team that you wanted to give some shine to?
I got to go with Shaughnessy Serrano, batting .524 with 7 home runs and 21 RBIs, and has a slugging percentage of a 1.142. So definitely high up there. But she's not only doing it with the bat, she's also doing it on the mound. 8-4 on the year with a 3.11 ERA. And get this, 111 strikeouts on the year. So, and she's definitely putting in the work there. And then I also have Kaylee Blackstock, who's batting .371 with 1 home run, 6 doubles, and 10 RBIs. What about yourself?
I had both of those ladies on my list, as well as senior Madison Campano, who has the team's leading fielding percentage with .983. It's a very good year for the Lady Warriors. I think that this is a team that will be poised for very good success in the postseason. It's just a matter of the competition they face and their mindset going into these games.
All right, so let's move on to Apache Junction, who is 9-7 on the year, 6-2 in that 4A Black Canyon, as they sit in 2nd, of course, behind Vista Grande. And they are actually 7-2 over their last 9 games, the only losses coming to the team that's undefeated in that region, and that's Vista Grande. Any players that stood out to you?
Yeah, junior Shauna Harper has a batting average of .714 and an on-base percentage of .781 with 18 stolen bases and 30 runs. Leading these categories for this team is very impressive. And I can't forget senior Crystalline Trisolier, who has a .472 ERA in 40 innings pitched. Their last win came at Cortez on Monday, where they beat them 21-6. and this team will end their regular season with two games against the Tempe Lady Buffaloes.
And the person I want to acknowledge is Sierra DeVries, who's batting .311 on the year with one home run, 20 RBIs, and five doubles. So, like we said, a very good year for Apache Junction softball. Definitely a team that is could take over that 4A Black Canyon if we see Vista Grande probably go to a tougher region. But we will see in time, just hoping, like you said, they can end that season strong as we move into our next team, which is the Casa Grande Cougars, who are currently 13-14 on the year. Unfortunately, they're 1-7 in that 5A Santan region and have lost two straight games to Higley, which was 4-3 and 7-4. But as we look at how their season has shaped out, they have actually improved by two games this year, which is great for this program. We've known that they have struggled over the course of the last couple of seasons, and they might have the opportunity to possibly finish over 500 this year.
Yeah, last year was their first season under Coach Des Gill, and this year has definitely been an improvement for them. But I think that the bright spots for the Cougars have definitely outshined anything that they have Absolutely. Had negatively. Their final two games will be against Castile, and I think that this is a team that, though they did have their struggles a couple years ago, they are finding their footing and will suddenly be a team that will be in the playoff picture in the years to come.
Any players that has stood out to you before we move on to our next team?
Cougars in my crosshairs would be senior Nevaeh Rivera, who has a .550 batting average, a .571 on base percentage with three triples to her name, and also senior Brianna Sanchez with two bombs and a 3.11 ERA.
And I'm going to take senior Demi Choate, who's batting .356 with one home run, 18 RBIs, two triples and 12 doubles on the year. So these seniors on this Lady Cougars team have definitely helped make this season an improvement. And I know that the best is yet to come for the Lady Cougars. So let's move on to the Combs Coyotes, who will currently sit at 3-15 on the year, 2-6 in the 4A East Sky, which places them in fifth. And unfortunately, on a five-game losing streak at the moment. But who do you want to acknowledge for the Lady Coyotes?
Molly Finkbeiner, who has a .697 batting average and an on-base percentage of .762 with 19 RBIs. There is also sophomore Melissa Gonzalez, who has a bomb on the season. Were there any other players that you would like to highlight on this team?
Those were the top two I had for the Lady Coyotes, you know. But at the end of the season, they're going to be taking on Flowing Wells, Poston Butte, Marcos Deniza, and another matchup with the Lady Broncos. So, you know, maybe they can pull out a couple of wins there against maybe Flowing Wells or Marcos Deniza. I just know Poston Butte, we're going to get to them later on. They've been playing at a high level. I just don't know if they have enough to possibly overcome some of those matchups.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough ask. Well, why don't we roll into our next team?
And that's going to be the Coolidge Lady Bears. They're currently 14-8 on the year, 8-1 in the 3A South Central, which puts them in second. And as we talked about this team, it was a team that struggled at first right out the gate, have turned things around, won 9 games in a row before losing that matchup to Santan Foothills 7-1, but then turned right around and beat Benjamin Franklin 6-1. We know that this team was young coming in to last year, definitely have a year of experience, made it to the playoffs. There's definitely got to be some players to highlight for the Lady Bears.
100%. Like junior Destiny Joaquin, who has a team-leading batting average of .571 with two home runs and an ERA of .288, as well as sophomore Abrina Valenzuela, who has an on-base percentage of .655 with a fielding percentage that's an impressive .986.
And I'm going to take Tasha Juan, who's batting 474 with one home run, 22 RBIs, five doubles, two triples. And this is a real stat, 32 stolen bases on the year. So she is definitely one who is going to steal a bag multiple times throughout the game.
Sweet feat for my Holes fans.
And so for Coolidge, they're going to wrap up the season against ALA Ironwood, Tinka Verde, and then a big matchup against Valley Christian. I know that that's a team that they definitely have to have circled, but you cannot overlook ALA Ironwood. That's another team we talked about. It's going to be a tough matchup for the Lady Bears. Hopefully, Coach Dan can get those ladies focused, and they have the playoffs in sight. You know, I know they played a very tough team in Sabino last year, and they got to see what that level of competition entails. I just know that if this team gets hot, maybe they can possibly make a little bit of a run in this year's playoffs. But we'll move on into another team vying for a playoff spot. That is the Florence Lady Gophers, who are currently 10-10 on the year, 6-3 in the 3A South Central, which places them in fourth. And they're a team that won four in a row before losing to ALA Ironwood, but turn around and also beat Benjamin Franklin by a score of 20-1. This is a team that lost some tremendous talent last year, especially, in the hitting department. But they're still hanging around this year, and I think that they're a team that's going to sneak in to this top 24 and get a chance in that play-in. Who are some of the players that have caught your eye for the Lady Gophers?
Let's talk about the ladies in red that are in my sights, like sophomore Cammy Rice, who has a 520 batting average, a 579 ERA with 21 RBIs, and senior Kasia Neal, who has one home run and six doubles to her name. You mentioned earlier, this is a team that had a big win over Ben Franklin, and also we spoke of this earlier, their huge win over rival Coolidge, that was 7-1. Very few positive talking points for this team when it comes to their offense. Like you said, they lost a lot of experience in graduation last season, but they have tons of room to grow as well as sharpening their defense as well.
And they're going to close up their season against ALA Anthem South and Santan Foothill. So two teams that they can definitely pick up a win against. Let's just hope that that strength of schedule doesn't knock them down. Currently sitting at 21, but you have Window Rock at 9-4, Push Ridge at 9-8, and then Safford at 6-8 to round out that top 24. So definitely have to win these last two games, and I think they'll have that play-in sealed by the end of April 22nd. And let's move on into our 6A team, which is the Maricopa Lady Rams, who currently are 23-5 on the year, 6-2 in the 6A West Valley, which places them in second. They're currently on a two-game losing streak after winning 9 in a row. Any concerns there for Maricopa, or do you think that was just a bump in the road there?
It was definitely a bump in the road. It was something that they shared with the baseball team, taking those two losses from Tolleson. But they'll close the season out with two games against Shadow Ridge, and nonetheless, it's been a very strong showing for the Rams. They've had a lot of players on that team show out, like senior Alexandra Armstrong, who had a 467 batting average with a 316 ERA, and senior Emily Peters with a 571 on base percentage with two bombs to her name, and of course sophomore Elizabeth Dupree with 43 hits and 40 runs on the season. Were there any Rams that you wanted to highlight?
Oh, Elizabeth Dupree, you know, having that 463 average, 20 RBIs and 11 stolen bases, definitely was the other one. I didn't think you had her on your list, so I was going to try to sneak her away and acknowledge her, but you beat me to the punch. But either way it goes, this is a very talented Lady Rams team. They'll close out the season with back-to-back games against Shadow Ridge. I know that they're a team we always talk about with the baseball team, is they're just not getting the amount of respect that they deserve, because they have definitely been a team that balls out week in and week out. Like I said, I'm not worried about the games against Tolleson. I think they will bounce back against Shadow Ridge and close up the season strong for sure.
Yes, sir.
So moving on to the Poston Butte Lady Broncos. They are currently 16-8 on the year, 4-4 in that 4A East Sky, and sit in third in that region. They've also another team that have lost their last two games by a score of 20-0 versus Eastmark. But they have two winnable games to end the year against the Combs Coyotes. What have you seen from the Lady Broncos that catches your eye from their roster?
Just this season, it just seems like the Firebirds had their number. It's not unusual, especially for this time of the season, to see these teams play each other back-to-back. But let's talk about some of the bright spots for this Broncos team. Junior Kimberly Westover has a team-leading batting average of .592 with 8 home runs and 45 hits, as well as junior Haley Lopez with 15 stolen bases, a fielding percentage of .969 with 17 doubles. What about you? Were there any Poston Butte players that you had wanted to highlight?
Yeah, I'm going to go with another freshman, Briley Litviak, who's batting .535 with 5 home runs, 30 RBIs, and 17 doubles, along with Aaliyah Madrid, who's batting .400 with 1 home run, 19 RBIs, and 13 doubles. So this is a team that only has 4 seniors on the roster and definitely have some young talent that's going to carry these Lady Broncos for the foreseeable future. I just hope that this is a team that can bounce back from the hurdle that they had these last two games and are able to carry themselves further than they did last year, because we know that this is a team that plays very well together. They're fundamentally sound, and I know once they get in the playoffs, they're going to be scary. I mean, even though they sit at 16 right now, I think the best is yet to come for the Lady Broncos.
No, I completely agree. So let's move on to a team that has no stats available, so we will not be staying on this team for too long. This is the 4-14 Santan Foothills Sabercats. Not a whole lot to go off of here because there's not a whole lot to look up. It's just unfortunate that this team has taken so many losses and that they just don't have the time to input any positives for the rest of the season.
And they're currently on a 4-game losing streak. They'll wrap up their season against Globe and, as we mentioned, the Florence Gophers. So maybe they can possibly sneak one out. But, 2-5 in that 3A South Central, which is 7th. And they'll wrap up their season against Globe and Florence, 0-8 in that 3A South Central, which is in 9th place. They're currently on that 3-game losing streak. I'm just hoping that, they might be able to sneak one out near the end of the season. Just been a tough year for the Lady Sabercats. And we'll move on into the Santa Cruz Valley Lady Dust Devils, who are 14-6 on the year, 6-2 in a tough 2A South region. They're currently in 2nd and are on a 2-game win streak. They're 7-3 over their last 10 games, but we know that they've lost twice to Horizon Honors and one time to Round Valley. Different team this year when it comes to pitching. They lost Raylin Tarango as she graduated last year. A big piece for the Lady Dust Devils. Definitely was their ace on the mound. But they still have a lot of talent on this team. Who has stood out to you so far this year?
Standing out for me, one has to be sophomore Layla Brown, who has a .509 batting average, a .316 ERA with 29 hits, as well as junior Tatiana Reyes, who has a .603 on base percentage with 29 runs and a .844 slugging percentage. This is a team that got a win last night on the road against Chandler Prep and beat them 19-2. So no team that is a stranger to winning, But as you said earlier, they did lose a big game to Horizon Honors. But Horizon Honors was the number two team ranked at the time. So a very tough ask for the Lady Dust Devils. I think that loss will only sharpen their focus for their next game that they play leading into the playoffs.
And for me, I have Gianna Lopez batting .419 on the year with 3 home runs, 20 RBIs, and 10 doubles. And the leadoff, and the lady that leads it off for them, Aaliyah Bohorquez, batting .403 with 13 RBIs, 3 doubles and 1 triple, and of course, 27 stolen bases. We know she is known for that as being the leadoff hitter. And with those 27 stolen bases this year, that's 90 for her career. I know we were talking about that, an amazing feat. Hopefully, in these last couple of games, she'll be able to crack that 100 mark. I know that'll be a big achievement for her. But I don't know what it is about these freshmen this year, as I have Michaela Leos, who's batting .392 with 4 home runs and 16 RBI. So definitely some talent that's probably coming from that legit program that we know Coach Reyes and her crew have going over there in Eloy. So we talked about it, a team that definitely can make it far in the playoffs, currently sit at 6th. And I know that they're going to be hungry to probably get another matchup against Horizon Honors in that playoffs for sure.
Oh, this is a team that has their bomb squad live and in effect.
All right. Well, we have Sequoia Pathway, which we talked about. All right. Well, so next up we have the Sequoia Pathway Lady Pumas, 3-10 on the year, 0-8 in the 2A South, sitting at 5th on a 5-game losing streak. But another team with no stats, so not really anybody that we can acknowledge here, as we said.
But they do have a big game today against Madison Highland Prep. This is for all the marbles. If they win this game, they could possibly squeak in to that playoff picture. So it's a very crucial game for this Lady Pumas team.
Yeah, we'll definitely be cheering them on. Definitely an improvement from last year. You know, just hopefully we'll be able to find some players that we can acknowledge and bring some awareness to for the Lady Pumas. But go get them. And lastly, we have the Vista Grande Lady Spartans, currently 13-15 on the year, 8-0 in the Black Canyon region on an 8-game win streak. It looks like they're probably going to win out as they face Dysart twice, who is 5-14 on the year. And they're probably going to be a clean sweep for Vista Grande, as you'll probably have a region championship ship coming to both baseball and softball again this year. So Vista Grande is another one of those teams that is sitting in the 20s right now. These two games may not bump them up too far, but either way, they will be a lock for the playoffs by the end of the season. Who are some players that you want to acknowledge for the Lady Spartans?
Some players on this team that I would like to give some shine to: senior Jalissa Haregi, who is batting .526 with a .609 on base percentage, as well as a slugging percentage of .684. And then there's junior Chloe McEachern, who has 25 runs and 25 hits. And I can't forget senior Kalissa Casillas with 20 RBIs on the season. Were there any Lady Spartans that I left out?
I'm going to go with the Leah Ramos, batting .450 with 27 hits and 27 RBIs. And Kalissa Casillas, who's batting .377 with 26 hits, 31 RBIs, and 4 triples on the year. So, like we said, it's a resurgence for the Lady Spartans coming into this year. Definitely looking to have some success in that play-in. But that's going to kind of wrap it up for us. I know we went way over the usual time when it comes to discussing baseball and softball, but we had a lot of catching up to do, a lot of research that we did this week, and we wanted to bring that awareness to some of these great athletes. And if we didn't get to mention your name this time around, don't be discouraged, because like we said, if you send us something, we will definitely share it. If you want us to pinpoint a player, you know, if you're a coach, just send us a message. Like we said, if you input those stats, we're going to look over them. We're going to try to acknowledge as many players as we can. But either way it goes, I think it's been a consistent season, you know, kind of along. All these teams are kind of riding along where we thought they were going to be at the beginning of the season. We had a couple of surprises this year, but either way it goes, I'm looking forward to the last week of the season and possibly seeing how many teams make it into that play-in and possibly have a first-round bye coming next week.
Oh, yeah, we got games today. I'm going to be seeing the Warriors and Gophers. Tomorrow I'm going to probably see the Lady Bears in action and against the Lady Warriors then. And then on Friday we have to take our trip up to Vista Grande to go see Coach Harley Grigg and his boys do their thing.
It's
and
their
senior night.
Yep.
Yeah, it's been a minute. And you know it's bad when you got Coach calling us saying where we've been at. So we want to make sure we show face and represent out there, because if it's definitely one thing, Vista Grande has shown love in all facets. We got to give a huge shout out to their athletic department. I know that they recently had a change in their athletic director, Mr. Ramirez, like that last name. And it's been overall a great experience to have that type of connection with Vista Grande. Speaking of Vista Grande, we had Coach Roberts reach out to us during or after our last recording. Why don't you give the fans a little bit of insight on how that call went?
Well, as you know, we're getting ready to hit the summer, which means football will be our primary focus coming in to the summer. We're looking to fill out our broadcasting schedule for the upcoming season. We're going to reach out to schools, but if you already had us in mind to possibly cover a game, that's exactly what Coach Roberts did. He wanted to get a game locked in. So hopefully if all things go well, we will possibly be heading out to Vista Grande to see them in action against the Pueblo Warriors, as we were out here last year in Pueblo. Possibly another two games if everything goes as such. I won't ruin that surprise as I'm saving it all up for the summer when we make our picks and reveal kind of where we're going to be heading this year. I know it's going to be a little bit different because as far as I'm concerned, I'm only going to be around kind of for the August, September time frame as I'll be traveling out of state for the MLB playoffs with Fox Sports. So you're going to take the lead for the varsity breakdown and see what games we can get locked in. And like we said, if you have any interest in us broadcasting a game, don't hesitate to reach out. As we always like to leave it open, it's kind of first come, first serve when it comes to us locking in those games. So get your schedules out there so we could take a look at some possibilities to come into your town and broadcast the game. But outside of that, I think the only thing I had was, you know, if you are a senior this year, don't forget about the Leticia Cavazos Memorial Scholarship application. That's going to be due next month. So if you haven't done so already, get your application in. And I just want to send a big shout out to all the people that ordered this year's shirts for our scholarship fundraiser. I believe we hit almost 80 shirts alone, as well as some funds that were directed towards donations. So we can't thank you guys enough for participating in that and being able to award some of these student athletes with a scholarship fund. But as far as I'm concerned, that's all I really had today. Is there anything that I left out?
Not much that you left out. I just want to say shout out to Coach Reyes and Legit Prince, who are going to be this year's producer of the Leticia Cavazos Memorial Scholarship shirt. Really looking forward to that. There's just a lot of hype going on into this upcoming season. I'm excited to wrap up this spring season, then ultimately, bro, football. It's right around the corner. It's our biggest sport. It's no secret, and everybody else is preparing for it. One thing that you did leave out, and we kind of spoke into existence on the last episode, was talking about Ironwood Ridge. Mm-hmm. Ironwood Ridge does not stream or show their games by any means. But last week, they were able to get a hold of us via contact information from Chris Kidney. So shout out Chris Kidney of So AZ Football, was able to put you in contact with a parent of Ironwood Ridge. And that's something we're also looking forward to working towards too this year. So lots of bridges being built on our end, and I'm looking forward to what's coming. Every day gets more exciting because when I see your name pop up on my phone, it's Daniel Schefter to the to the rescue and giving me another scoop of what's going down in our community.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot to talk about. You know, we'll be back next week to see where our baseball and softball teams end up at the end of the season. Hopefully we have I'm hoping for more than half. That's my goal, you know. So if we can at least get seven teams from baseball and softball into the playoffs, I think that that's a success in itself. And those other programs who are looking to build, they're going to be they're not going to be far behind. So just keep an out just keep an ear out for the latest podcast dropping. You know, stay updated on our social media, and if there's anything else that, you know, you think we should be talking about or we can bring awareness to, don't hesitate to hit us up. We're available most hours of the day, and including the night, depending on how late we're doing our research and such. So either way, we want to thank you all for joining us for this episode, and we'll see you guys next week.
Take it easy.